Thank you very much. And we are both, my wife and I, are both very happy to be in this service, this worship time together with all of you. And I praise God for his presence with us as well. It's a little awkward, of course, for the last few months, the way we all have been meeting. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus, he knows fully well what we are going through. And I believe that every moment spent in praise and adoration and worship, even whether we speak it or not, whether silently or audibly, we believe, O God, that the angels of God in heaven rejoice that we lift up his name. And I want to really thank God for this. And do pray that the Lord will bless the word this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may I continue? Okay, now I would like you all to sort of take a look at a few scriptures first. It would mean a little bit of a reading here and a little bit of a reading that side, and so that we get the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. My title really for this, for the message that I want to give today is this: Christ exalted high above the heavens. Christ was, he not only lived here and died for us and was buried, but he rose again and has been exalted. And that is what is on my heart this morning, and I do hope that the Holy Spirit will make it alive to all of us, because I'm going to take nearly all that I'm saying from the scriptures. So then what I'm going to do now is to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews. Okay. I have read to you chapter 7. I'll do it again. Chapter 7. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's what I talked about. Now the other part of my message would go to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was not just made greater than the angels and higher than the heavens, but the Lord Jesus Christ was made like unto us. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, where we read, wherefore, if you've got your Bibles, please turn to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be the merciful, he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Did you notice the word made like? Now, in the other part of the scriptures, which I read from chapter 7 and verse 26, it says, he was made higher than the heavens. But in this verse, what we see is, he is made. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we came into this world, he became a man. And therefore, in that sense, he became a human being, and you could say he became a man like ourselves. Therefore, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I've done that twice over. I won't read it once again. Now, come with me now to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and reading verse. All right, where are we? What we see Jesus, okay? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6 it is. For one in a certain place testified saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now it says one in a certain place, and it doesn't tell us clearly who that one is. But I searched up and I found that there is a reference in Job 7 and 17, chapter 7 and verse 17. And it refers to Job. And that was long ago, long before what was taking place at the time where of the reading over here. It says, one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? And that word, that question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, comes two or three times, even right up to the epistle of the servant of God to the Hebrews. And therefore, you find that it is a very significant question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little inferior, a little lower than the angels. The word is lower, but actually it means you made him God uses the word, made him a little lower than the angels. That word lower is inferior. A little inferior, or he made him lower or inferior for a little time. That's what it really means. So thou madest him, he's talking about us, madest him a little while inferior to the angels. And in the making of man like that, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he was made a man. Therefore, the scripture says, thou madest him, that is Christ, a little while inferior to the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that he put all in subjection under him, that is, under the Lord Jesus Christ, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now that's strange. And yet the next line tells us, but now, take time as it comes, but now we see not yet all things put under him. As the days have gone on and the history has taken place, we can see, we know that everything is not exactly as it is said here, because the Lord Jesus Christ was hated and hounded and crucified and put to death. And yet on the third day he rose again. Let's not forget that. Now I'm going to read a very significant verse in this part of what I'm reading. And that is, what is man, okay? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Now, the Holy Spirit is trying to equate that with us men. We are with us who are men. With us who are made a little while inferior to the angel. Now, the scripture tells us that God, in verse 7, he says, you made him, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved son, you made him for a little time inferior to the angel. And so, when we talk of that, come to verse 9 again. But we see Jesus, who was made for a little while inferior to the angel. For what purpose? Why did God make the Lord Jesus Christ inferior? And that is for a little time. Even though that may be so, he made him a little inferior, a little while inferior to the angels. For what? In the middle of verse 9 you read, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. In other words, all that we have read so far in these 4 or 5 verses, the Lord God of heaven, the Father of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, when it came to bringing Christ into this world, he knew what he was doing. And there was a purpose. Why did God make the Lord Jesus? For a little while inferior to the angels. It says here, it is for the suffering of death. Why should he suffer for death? Suffering of death, why should Christ have suffered that? He's crowned with glory and honor. God is saying both things. He suffered. And at the same time, because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered death. Now God is able to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was made lower for a little while inferior to the angels. It says here, he is crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now that is like an introduction to what really I'm wanting to say to the theme this afternoon. May the Lord bless the word to us. So our focus is Jesus the Lord. But we see Jesus. So in writing all of this, and even if Job has said it in his time, what is man that thou art mindful of him? A son of man that you visit him. You made him a little while inferior to the angels. Okay, if that is speaking about Christ, that was long ago. Therefore, the person really in context is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was made for a little time inferior to the angels. For a little while inferior, for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, having been made such, he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Thanks be to God. Immediately we are confronted with one of the greatest things that God ever did, that he sent his son down. He made him a man. He made him a man so that you can say, okay, why should he make him a man? What is man? It is like this. He made him for a little time inferior to the angels for the suffering of death. What we would like to say deep in our hearts when we hear things like this is, oh God, thank you. You had a purpose in sending your son into this world, that he should taste death for every man. Oh, no, God, my Father, when you say for every man, that means me. That Christ was sent here that he should taste death and go through suffering for me. For it became him, verse 10 says, for it became him, that is Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. What a God, what a purpose he had. Every one of you who are listening, whether in this house or the other house or anywhere, wherever you are and you've listened to a word like this concerning our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of that group. What it says here, made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering, that crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Why did he do that? Verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you are a believer, at this time you would like to bow your heads, and you would just like to, in the depth of your heart, you say thank you to him. And say, oh God, did you do this for me? Did you have to suffer like this for me? Thank you, Lord. We're crowned with glory and honor. Praise be to God for that. Now, that's really the first part of what I'm saying. He was made. God made him. Made what? Made a little time inferior to the angels. Let me bring you another verse, and it means something else now. In verse Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, we have got a verse that has to do very much with us. Philippians and chapter 2. And in chapter 2, what we read in verse 5 to 8. We'll take a look at that. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. It says there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why not? Because he is divine. He is God. Let this mind be in you. Get this straight. He says, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, listen to this, he made himself of no reputation. When you say no reputation, we notice that word reputation is sometimes used in some translation. He made himself nothing. He made himself zero. In other words, Christ, who is everything, who is number one in all of God's creation, he made himself nothing, zero. And the Lord Jesus, not that the God the Father just made him or forced him, he said, but Christ made himself of no reputation. How do you like that? He made himself nothing. He made himself zero and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I've said several things so far. Let me go over it again. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, made himself nothing, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, as if that was not sufficient, the Lord Jesus Christ, the next line says in verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When you say he humbled himself, I would like to show you seven steps. And look at, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is his self attitude. He didn't think it a thing to be, coveted to become the son. He was the son of God. Secondly, Look at the steps that lead to his humility, to downward to his humility. but he made himself of no reputation. He became zero. We find it very hard to do such a thing like that. But he who is number one, the greatest of all, he who is the one that the Lord God made, and he is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he emptied, he made himself of no reputation, nothing. He emptied himself, or he divested himself and became nothing. In other words, it was his own volition. He gave himself to God and said to God, as it were, "Father, here am I." In fact, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on that last night, he fell on his face and he prayed. He told the disciples to stay afar from him for a little distance and there to pray, but they had gone to sleep. And at that time, the Lord Jesus prayed and said, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And before he could take another breath, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's what he said. He emptied himself. He became nothing. And number three, third step, he took upon him the form of a servant. Service. He did service to God like a servant. He took that servant attitude. He didn't come here as Lord. He came as a servant to obey God, to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, so that he could say to God, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And then the fourth point is this. That was a servant attitude. Fourth point was this. He was made in the likeness of men. How do you like that? He was made like you and me. I thought we read in the Hebrew epistle there, he was made for a little time inferior to the angels. In other words, he was made like an angel, but he was made inferior to the angel. That itself was bad enough. But here we read, he was made in the likeness of men, us sinful men who are born in iniquity. And we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we who are not even made like angels. Angels are far greater and higher than us. They are the ones who have the right, the seraphim have the right to go around the throne of God and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." No, they can't do that. Over there in the presence of God, those seraphim who keep flying about all the time, night and day, day in and day out, year after year, they are flying about. The Bible gives us a description. They have six wings. With two wings they fly around about the throne of God. With two wings they cover their faces so that their eyes, they say, the Bible says, their eyes should not see the glory of God. And with two wings, they stand in the holy presence of God. Even as they, with their two wings, they fly above. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. The Lord Jesus Christ was not just made an angel, because an angel is not divine. He was made man. Therefore, there was a purpose for that. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This is the fifth point. He humbled himself. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. A man can become proud, he can become humble. But he, being the Son of God, he humbled himself. And that is humility. Humility. Humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death. That's the sixth point. He humbled himself. And that's humility. He became obedient unto death. That is obedience. Even the death on the cross. What a shame. We read here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He thought about himself. His self-attitude could not be like the angels or what we have. Secondly, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself zero. Thirdly, he humbled himself, divested himself of everything. He became nothing. He took upon him the form of a servant attitude. Fourthly, he was made. But he didn't rebel when he was being made. He was made in the likeness of men. He became like unto us, inferior to the angels. He didn't become an angel. No, he didn't even become, he didn't even replicate them in any way. He humbled himself, that is humility. He became obedient unto death. Only if he became a man could he die. And if he died, it was through in obedience. And even in the death on the cross, he suffered the shame. Lord Jesus, did you love us so much that you went to the cross and you bore the ignominy and the shame, the spitting, the scowling, the everything that they did? They cursed him, they sweared. They've done everything possible. They whipped him on the back until he was a bleeding mass. Oh God, they did everything possible until at last he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, a shameful death, in ignominy and shame. He hung there along with two other thieves. There he hung on those nails, bearing our sins, taking the blame for it all. And he did it for our sake. And at the same time, not only our sins were laid upon him, the judgment of God that should fall upon the sin of mankind fell upon him. Oh God, what could we say? What shame, what ignominy. He was left all alone. All his disciples fled from him, forsook him and fled. He was all alone to go through that suffering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise and worship you. Blessed be God. And when he died, that night, on the day before the Sabbath came. Oh God. He celebrated the supper, the Last Supper, the bread and the wine, and said to them, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. He passed them the cup and said, this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of this. Oh God, thank you for the remembrance that we had this morning. Thank you for that. And now, finally, let me go back to Hebrews chapter 2. And we read there, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Did he not? That's what I just said. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, praise be to God, the devil is destroyed. And verse 15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, I told you that. But he took on him the seed of Abraham, and he became a man. Now listen to this verse very carefully. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. I read earlier that he behooved him to be, become a man. Here, once again, it says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That like unto his brethren, meaning that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, did you notice? He was made like unto us. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 2. But it clearly says he was made like unto the angel, inferior to the angel. But here in verse 17 it says, made like unto his brethren. Who's that? We human beings, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In other words, when the Lord Jesus shed his blood, he atoned for our sins. And now that he's living, and he is the great high priest, we read here that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. We see Jesus. I want to read to you from chapter 4 of Hebrews again. We'll have to go back to Hebrews. I won't be too long. And with these one or two readings, I'm done. All right, chapter 4 of Hebrews. I'm reading from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, I've already told you, he's not only dead, but he's risen again, and he's ascended to heaven. He's seated on the right hand of God, as our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that double negative there makes it a positive, does it not? What does it say? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched. In other words, we say we have an high priest at the right hand of God who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, all who are believers, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God made us for a little while inferior to the angels. Then I read that God made us like unto himself. Christ became a man and he made us in his image. Thanks be to God. He was made like unto his brethren so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Now I'm going to take you to Ephesians. This is about the second last verse, I think, we are reading, are we not? Okay, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter, let me get it for you first. What's that? Ephesians chapter 4, and reading from verse 8, I think that would be good. He'll be reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first of all, into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also. Again, I'm saying also, same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Do it again. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. However many heavens there are, there's the atmospheric heaven, there are the starry heavens, there is the heaven to which the angels, where angels would go, and Christ himself is gone. But it says there, far above all heavens, what a God, that he might fill all things. Praise be to God for that. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to come with me now. God, I'm also thanking you. In Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, once again to Philippians and chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and we are reading from verse 9. Now, notice that earlier on from verse 5, it said, let this mind be in you. I read that before. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he died for us. He came in the likeness of men and died. Okay, we've done with that now. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Leave that alone. Come to verse 9. Wherefore, now that's the conclusion. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. I'll do it again, lest you didn't get it. Wherefore, when you say wherefore, you should ask the question, why it is therefore? It is because of what has been said from verse 5. Because of that, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name. There's no other name like his, which is above every other name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You might ask me the question, yes, when he went up, he was a made man, that's right, but he was made like unto us, that too is true. But when you say, when he went far above all the heavens, what does that mean? What does that mean? The last verse I'm going to read to you is verse 26. Did you notice that I said this is the last verse? I'm sure you're happy about that. Now, I've got to go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Okay, I've got it now. Hebrews chapter 7 and reading verse 26. Mind you, just one verse. Verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26. For such an high priest, who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. When God made the heavens, he made the heavens higher than the heavens. All right, that's fine. But he says he made him, for such an high priest became us. He became like us, one of us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Praise be to God. I wish all of you deep in your heart would like to say to God, blessed be God. Praise be to God. He is made higher than the heavens. And beloved brothers and sisters, one of these days, you're going to hear the trumpet sound. And when that trumpet sounds, you're going to hear a shout from heaven. The trump of God and the shout from heaven, and it will be announced that he is coming. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's gone before us, is coming. And I tell you, he is the high priest and he's coming. He's made higher than the heavens, and yet he's coming. To do what? He's coming to take us, for such a high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, made higher than the heaven. What for? What is he? What's he coming for? Answer: he's coming to take us to heaven. Not just the heaven, not even just the heaven of heavens, not even the starry heavens, not the angelic heavens. No, not at all. It is to the heaven of heavens that he is taking us. And that is where we will be seated along with the Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of God. Praise be to Almighty God. If I've taken extra time, please forgive me and pray that the next time it ever happens that I speak to you, I'll be in time. Thank you so much, and may God bless you and bless the word that the Holy Spirit has brought to you today.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. Yeah. righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God.